So nice to see you again, to spend together this afternoon cultivating practice and exploring this topic of creativity in meditation. So what I like to do this afternoon is actually continue a little bit with this art of meditation. And here I want to look at how creatively to integrate meditation into our daily life and action, and through that also creatively engaging with our habits. And then also, of course, what I had written in the small writer, to really also cultivate creative compassion toward self and others. So I want to cover this. Through that, I want to give some pointers in terms of practice. And then we will have a session of sitting meditation, walking meditation, sitting meditation. Then again, we will finish with a discussion. So, creatively integrating meditation into our daily life and action. So we can see it in a way in simple term. What does it mean in terms of meditation practice? And so here I would like to look in terms that often we think in terms of practice, meditation in daily life and action, in terms of finding the time to sit in meditation. So of course, you can find time to sit or stand or walk or lie down, what I would call in a formal way. So you take the time to do it. But even that, I think we could have a creative approach in terms of what is it that suits us? Because I think often the people tell me, oh, what is a good quantity? What is a good time? And I would say there is no special time, no special quantity in terms of sitting, in terms of timing. And it's really, in a way, just finding what is appropriate, what is compassionate, what is skillful in our life. And so, in a way, of course, some people, they can find time to sit for 30 minutes or more every day. And sometimes people can sit longer hours. And then some others, they might just want to sit for 10 minutes. Or for some other people, to actually do walking meditation might be better. For some other, to actually do movement or do a combination of movement, walking, and sitting meditation. So there is no fixed rule. I think this is, to me, creativity is about there is not fixed rule, but it's really adapted. It's adapted, open, flexible to our own circumstances. And in a way, the question to ask, when if I want to meditate formally at home, in a way, what purpose does it serve? You know, is it, I personally feel it serves three purposes. One of the purpose is actually to remind myself this is something I value. Another purpose is actually to just stop, because often we're so into the busyness of things that we need to learn to stop. And actually, formal meditation can really help us with that. But also, formal practice is to cultivate anchoring and inquiring directly for 10, 20, 30 minutes or more. So in a way, when we do the formal practice, we can have this creative approach, seeing it as different purpose. How does it fit in my life? And so you can do it once a day, you can do it 10 minutes, two or three times a day. Again, how does it suit those three purposes? I would say, in terms of my life. But then really we have to be careful not to think that meditation is just about this specific stopping sitting time. But to me, that's why it becomes interesting. How can I bring what I develop, cultivate in meditation into my daily life and action? And so, of course, one way is that we can actually, time to time, drop it in. Like if we feel very busy, we could take a deep breath. So actually, we bring the formal into the informal in terms of to help us to stop, to take a breather, to create a space, especially if we see that we become very busy. But another thing which I think is very important is to see the meditation is not just what you do, the anchoring and the inquiry, but how you do it. And so this is why that aspect is so important, to do it in a creative, wise, compassionate way, so that we apply that to the doing of the formal practice. And we bring that into our daily life. And to me, this is what, in a way, we're trying to develop, is this creative, wise, compassionate awareness that we try to bring to our life in these different aspects. But we have to be careful of not to think first that the awareness is like a radar. I must be aware of everything to the same degree all the time. That's not the idea. But the awareness is to be here as much as we can. And with that attitude, as much as we can. But again, what will happen is that according to conditions, we will be more aware or less, we will be more kind or less, we will be stressed more or less. So in a way, part of the inquiry is to notice that. And so in a way, then creatively integrating the meditation and the practice is bringing this to our habits in a way. That's what I call creative engagement. So the idea is not that by practicing, I'm going to become a perfect person and I won't have any trouble anymore, but more that practicing, I will hopefully more likely try to creatively engage with what arises and with the help of the inquiring and the anchoring. And that's why the impermanence is so interesting. That's why it really comes in terms of daily life and activity, is for us to see we are not experiencing our habits to the same degree all the time. So in a way, we are on a spectrum from creative functioning, where things seem to be smooth, and we are wise and creative and compassionate, and it's all wonderful when it is like that, and we all have experienced that, to when it's in the middle, so we have a bit of the creativity, wisdom, and compassion, and a bit of it's in the middle, to when we're totally caught. And then you think, where is it? The creativity, the wisdom, the compassion. And sometimes you can't even think it exists or that it's possible. So in a way, what does impermanence help us to see? And also understanding conditionality. It's helped us to see we are not fixed. We are not fixed in the wisdom. We are not fixed in the confusion, in the agitation. But then to kind of really creatively engage, it's kind of exploration, discovery of inner and outer conditions, as I mentioned previously, to really see in a way, When is it that I am well? When is it I am not well? What are the different conditions? What's going on? And then with the impermanence and the awareness, we start to see that actually, if I can make it simple, you have three levels of activation of the pattern. So you have the function, thought, feeling, sensation, relation, etc. And then these, often due to unpleasant condition, internal or external, then this thought, emotion, sensation, turns into, you could say, obsessive thought, turns into anger, fear. And anger, fear by itself is a function. You really need to have it to some degree because it's a useful emotional function. But when it gets uncreative, uncompassionate, unwise, then generally creates suffering for ourselves and others. Same with thought. I mean, thoughts are very useful, very important. And then when are we caught in our thought in to such degree, we cannot see anything else. There is no creativity. There is no space. And what can be useful with that is actually, because you see, when we look at these habits, pattern, and everything, generally, we recognize them, I would say, too late. We become aware of them when they're really too much. And we're like, ah, either somebody tell us, either we know it, either we have the unpleasant result of it. And we're like, this is going on. And we're angry or totally afraid or totally caught in thought or whatever it is. And so in a way, what the meditation is going to help us is to start to differentiate and to see actually this habituation, this patterning is not experienced to the same degree all the time. First, it's not there all the time. This is very important. I am not angry, afraid, obsessed all the time. So that's already one thing. The second thing is that not to the same degree. And then with the meditation, what can be very helpful is to see it more when it's light. Because I feel there is three levels: light, habitual, and intense. And so the creative engagement is going to be different with light than with habitual than with intense. And in a way, with light, you know, you're kind of like you are irritable or something is a little on your mind or something. Sometimes we can just wait for it to pass. And to me, what is important in terms of practice in daily life is actually to notice the change. One moment I am fine, and the next moment I'm not fine anymore. Like something has shifted, inner contact, outer contact, and suddenly from maybe pleasant or not much, suddenly it's unpleasant. And that unpleasant tonality generally triggers anxiety, anger, whatever it might be. And so in a way, to see the light is when the contact is relatively light. So something is a little unpleasant. This is unpleasant. And then some of the time we can just let it pass by just knowing it. What is important is to know the change has happened. I am in a different place. I am in from a creative place. In a way, you could say, I have moved to a reactive place. And so just to be aware of that. Oh, I feel different. And to me, that's why the awareness of the body can be so useful in terms of, oh, I feel different. Sometimes you can know why, sometimes you have no idea. But it's good to be aware, oh, I feel a little. And then we can let it pass. Sometimes we can know what it is, know it's going to pass. Sometimes we don't know, we can wait for it to pass. And sometimes it can just be tiredness. I think this is very important to see that. You know, it can be so many different things. And then you have the next level, which is like habitual. So in a way, it's kind of like, it's not there all the time, but you recognize it. Ah, I am in that space, either of thought or certain emotion or whatever. Oh, I am there again. And there, what is really important is to see that actually, again, conditions. Generally, you have a trigger, then you have conditioning factor, and then you have the condition themselves. And so for us to recognize, I am not an anxious or angry person, I could have a tendency toward that, of course. But then to recognize I am that within certain conditions. And some of the condition can be more biological in terms of tiredness, stress, not sleeping well. Some other might be out contact, external contact, somebody saying something to me a certain way or something you see or whatever it might be. And so in a way for us to recognize over time that, oh, I find myself in that place, and generally they are conditioned for that. So in a way, creatively engaging with those conditions. So in a way, the first one, like, let it pass. Second one, recognizing the condition. And then can I creatively with the condition? Do I need to go and rest? What is it that could help me to sleep better? Do I need the help of somebody to address this situation or whatever it might be? And then you have the intent. And the intent is different because then it's something which is generally shocking, something surprising, which has really got you. Either inside illness, in the outside, some other event. And then it's a shock to the system. And so we have to see that because it's a shock to the whole system, meditation is not going to stop. Meditation is not going to cause. Often we think, oh, if only I had enough meditation, then I would not be disturbed by this. I don't think so. I don't think so. But what meditation can help us to do is not amplify. Because the problem with something shocking is that because it's intense, then it can have a tendency, we can have a tendency to amplify. And so I think what meditation can help us in terms of creative engagement is how can I recognize it, experience it, create some space, and then we can use anchor. But just for a few seconds. Come back to the breath, to the body, to the sound, to loving kindness, just for a few seconds, just a little space, and then we back in it. And to acknowledge that then its impermanence is going to happen, but impermanence is going to take longer. The second one, in a way, we can help it with clarity. The third one, we can help it with clarity, but with patience. Because then we know, because it's intense, it's strong, it will take longer. It might take a day, it might take a week, sometime with grief, it might take a year. But even the grief, again, will be impermanent in different ways. So in a way, to bringing this creative engagement in daily life is to see kind of not to be observing ourselves all the time. That's not the idea. But to be in the experience. So when things are going well, being aware, oh yeah, I am fine. When things are difficult to a different degree, creatively engaging with these different degrees. Then I wanted to talk briefly about creative engagement with activity and work. So this kind of part of our life. I mean, some of us work, I mean, you have what I call, you work for finances, and you have also what I would call, if you don't work for finances to support yourself financially, you have work in terms of being active. I mean, you can be active in an inactive way too. If you choose to just sit in meditation all day long, this is fine too. This is an activity. And so in a way, especially with work, I find it interesting to bring this creative engagement to work. How do I work? Do I work the fastest, quicker possible so I can do something more interesting? Do I work and I'm very present to the work, but so caught that it makes me tense? Or am I really present in a stable and steady way? Do I do the work thinking about something else and hope it will be okay? Or whatever it is, it's kind of looking at how do I approach activities? Am I in it? Am I ahead of it? Even if you go for a walk, you go for a walk, you say, I'm going to go there. Long ago, I used to go with my mother-in-law, who was a great walker. And so we went for, you know, generally you had to go for an hour, 2 hours walk. And we were going there. We are going to that tour. We are going to that or that. No matter what, the weather, anything, we had to be there. And so I had the feeling that when we are walking, we actually was not in the walk, but we were there. All the time, it was about being there. And when we return, it was about being at the car and not much kind of being present to what was going on. And so it's the same for us. When we walk, for example, are we already there or are we present to the walk itself? So this is something to kind of look a little bit in terms of whatever activity we do, that it be work, that it be if we even create art. I know for artists, I have a few artists in my family, and it's kind of, you know, there is a process, there is a creativity, then there is a product. And, you know, it can become also quite natural or very complicated. So how could we bring this creative wise compassion within that? Because I think it's ourselves doing the work, and how it works for us. But also, if we work with others, if we are active with others. Again, sometimes you're active with others, especially if you are doing charitable work. And often what I find is that the aim, oh, we must help these people. But the way we do it might not be so good for us or so good for others. And to me, what is so important is not just the end result, is also the intention, is the doing of it, is a result of it. And I find that really interesting to reflect. And I think more people are reflecting on this nowadays in terms of activity, working together, etc. So that's, I wanted to just briefly talk about work. And then one of the things which in daily life, I think they're really, really such a wonderful practice is what I would call creative engagement with speech and listening. And that's why I think listening meditation is such a great practice. And that's why we kind of, the first sitting we'll do that, and then the next sitting we'll do something else. Because I think to me, in terms of creative engagement in relationship, this I think, as we practice meditation, it's not just for ourselves, it's for ourselves in the world. How we touch the world and how the world touches us. And I think a way we touch the world and it touches us is through speech and through listening. And I think this is such an important practice. How do we listen? First, we could bring awareness to our inner language. And then you could look, how do I talk to myself? Do I talk to myself in a creative, wise, compassionate way? Or do I give myself a hard time? That I find it very interesting. Inner language. Can we change? Can we creatively engage with our inner language? The tone, the vocabulary, how do we treat ourselves within ourselves? How do we treat others into also our mind? This also can be interesting. And then, so in a way, when we speak, sometimes we speak faster than we think and we regret it. And I think that's why when we go on residential retreat at Gaia House, for example, and there is this beautiful silence, I think it can be so helpful to be not in silence all the time at home, but in retreat, to be in silence. And the, I don't have to say anything, but I can still be with others in a friendly way. And to me, when I'm in silence in that way, I learn again and again, I don't have to say this. You know how we think, I must say this, I must tell this story, I must point this out, or whatever it is. And each time in the silence, I find again the, I don't have to say everything that goes through my mind. But again, it's at the point in time, appropriate, relevant, compassionate, and wise. And I think that's why the silence can be so interesting in terms of the speed we wish we speak, which might not always be wise. So that I found interesting, silence and speech. And then through that, also listening. And then to kind of look at how do we listen? And generally, as people have heard already, some of you, we listen in three ways. One way we listen, but we wait for the person to stop so I can say something so much more interesting. Second, I listen. That is, I look in the right direction, but I think about something else. And when the person finished, I have no idea what they said. Notice when you do that. Somebody speaks to you, you're not listening, and so you don't hear. And you have no idea what the person said. And the third one, you listen, but then you grasp at what they say, you amplify, which often is not helpful. And so for me, listening is a great practice. And I really, it's really an art of anchoring, of being present. Because you can see, you listen to somebody, and you can see either your mind going off somewhere else, or either your mind already preparing a solution or whatever it is. And then to come back to just listening, going off, preparing, let it go, just listening. And so for me, that's why it's a practice. Because so easily, either we go off, either we again jump ahead. And so to totally listen, and if we do that, I find most of the time when the person stops, you say something so much more relevant, appropriate to the person at the time. And so that's why I find listening meditation so useful. And that's why I kind of do a little guided meditation of that. And then you also have what I call creative engagement with limits. So we have to be very careful with the practice of meditation. Again, this is not about perfection. This is not about 100% all the time because of impermanence, because of conditionality. And so we have to creatively engage with our limits. And so compassion goes on a spectrum. Sometimes you need to have more compassion for yourself. Sometimes you can have more compassion for others. And sometimes you are in the middle of both. And it really depends on if you are tired or ill or stressed. It depends if you are full of energy. It depends on so many conditions. So be careful, like there are the four beautiful qualities of loving kindness, compassion, altruistic joy, appreciative joy, and equanimity. These four qualities are intention, function, capacity. They are not state to be all the time to the same degree. I think we have to really see that actually they're part of the creative engagement. Friendliness. We know how it feels. We want also to have that friendliness. But we cannot be friendly regardless of circumstances. It totally depends. If we are ill, I mean, you can be friendly, but sometimes, I don't know, I have experience being ill and not wanting to see anybody and thinking, on top of it, I don't want to be friendly. I don't have the energy. So anyway, the intention is there. And yes, you want friendliness is lovely. But again, as an intention, as a creativity, as a possibility, when the condition can be there. The same with compassion. Of course, compassion, it's a beautiful quality, beautiful capacity. But we cannot have it all the time to the same degree. And also sometimes the compassion can ask us to act. And sometimes compassion is actually not to act. So again, it's what is wise, what is skillful, what is appropriate. And then you have the joy, altruistic joy. Personally, I think this is a wonderful quality. But it doesn't mean you're going to be joyful all the time or be able to appreciate everything all the time. Not at all. But again, it's going to be extending a little. All of these, friendliness, compassion, joy, equanimity, is more about the capacity we have and we try to develop it wisely. A little more. And then, of course, there is equanimity. But again, equanimity is not about I'm going to be unmoved, unfeeling, not at all. Actually, equanimity is about two things. One is about balance. And basically, balance means you're not going to be balanced equally all the time, but you're going one way, you can come back, you're going the other way, you can come back. So balance is being able to come back to balance. And that is more likely if there is less amplification. But we can talk more about this during the discussion. But another thing about equanimity is actually treating others and ourselves equally. To me, that's what also very beautiful about equanimity. I know it's very, because we kind of differentiate the one we like, the one we don't know, the one who helps us, the one who don't, and so on. So of course, we have to differentiate. But having that capacity, that aspiration, that intention to treat life equally. Of course, within reason, we are, again, wisdom come in. If somebody is dangerous, you don't want to meet them. You want to avoid them. So again, Wisdom is always there. What is skillful? What is appropriate? What is harmful? So this is, I think, something we can bring, I think, in our daily life, in terms of recognizing it's already there. So really being aware, oh, I experience friendliness, compassion, joy, equanimity. Not as, look how great I am, but more, I experience it. More as, I know it. I recognize it. I am capable of it. I think this is very essential. But also, it's something that we can see when, how it can help us. Sometimes to remember, I need equanimity. I need some calm. How can I recover some calm? I need some joy. What could bring me a little joy? Because often we think, what can bring me the most joy? No, no, what can bring me a little joy in this difficult moment? What can bring a little relief in a wise, compassionate way? So kind of seeing how these different qualities are already present, can be present, but also can be cultivated in our daily life. So this is what I wanted to offer as a kind of a little bit of a topic for this afternoon. And so the first meditation I thought could be about listening meditation. So again, if it suits you, not it doesn't suit everybody. And it depends where you are sitting, in what environment. Some environments are more quiet than others. But with the listening meditation, the idea is kind of, in a way, the awareness wide open. And in a way, it's kind of like opening to the music of the world. And then we can hear in a general way, or we can hear in a specific way. But I will do a little guiding as we do it. Okay? So, shall we find a comfortable posture? Just opening to the sounds of the world, to the music of life, without grasping, without rejecting. We could also be aware of our inner language. Can we soften it? Can we be more friendly, more balanced? Being aware of sound arising and passing away. If we hear a sound which is more continuous, does it change within itself? If there are few sounds or no sound, just listening to the silence, resting in the silence.